Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning. I'm Pastor Patrick. It's great to be here today. And you might have a question on your mind, why? Why are we having a sermon about suffering in our first time in this new, beautiful facility? That is a great question. You might not have that on your mind at all, but I want to answer it because I was wondering the same thing. I read a couple of Psalms earlier in the week. I'm like, oh, this would be so nice. It's about God's people gathering together. Maybe I should preach that, but as I thought about that and prayed about that, the first part is that we are really excited to be in this space. This is a provision from the Lord. There was teams that searched super hard and did a lot of work for a really, really long time and looked at lots of options. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. We are really excited to be here. Really happy about it, partly because it gives us an opportunity to explore our potential as a church. It gives us the space to gather, to encourage each other, to bring our friends, to bring people that we work with, to invite people and grow, and then like, wow, what is our mission going to be here specifically? What doors is God going to open? We're excited about all of that. And at the same time, why are we preaching about suffering? It kind of goes to this core belief that we have as a church. And that idea is that we love the Word of God. We love the Word of God. In fact, we believe that God has spoken in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, through the words of human authors, as the verbally inspired Word of God. The Bible is without error in the original writings. Complete revelation of his will for salvation and the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge or endeavor should be judged. Therefore, it's to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises. That's what we believe about the Word of God. In fact, I believe it so much that as we come together for our church, for sermon time, we believe that hearing teaching from the Word of God is what we need. We need to hear God's voice. We need to hear, a topical sermon is fine from time to time, but hearing what God teaches us through going through books of the Bible is so important. Which brings us back to the question. We're going through 1 Peter. And so on our first Sunday here, we are continuing in that series because we trust the Word of God. We trust that when we enter God's word, he will speak to the things that we need to hear to grow in our faith. And this is what God has for us today, to hear a passage about suffering. And so we're going to step into it and see what God has to say. And I have absolutely no doubt that God's going to speak to our hearts through this.
Next Sunday, I'll be away, and Steve Treichler is going to be opening the Word of God here. And so come back. He's a pretty fiery guy, and so come back and hear what he has to say. I wish I could be here to hear it with you. But let's pray. Let's pause and just pray over God's Word for a second. Father, thank you for giving us your Word. You have written it. You preserved it. You've blessed us with lots of translations from the original. You've given us so many ways to just pick up and read and consume your Word. We're thankful for that. And we just acknowledge the importance of your Word. And Father, as you speak to us today about the nature of suffering, I pray that you would help us to hear from you, help us to endure well going through difficult things. Lord, we come and we submit to your Word of God together in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about suffering in general, I was thinking there's a lot of categories of suffering that we could think about, a lot of different realms of life in which we suffer and go through struggles and hardships. And they're so important to us because they're so foundational. They're so disruptive. They cause us to rethink who we are. Sometimes we suffer inside this realm of our family life. And that can take a place in so many different ways. Some people have suffered inside family life because those older, maybe older generation might be going through illnesses or even suffering the loss of grandparents and parents is a struggle. Or accidents, and we live together, so we all bear that together. It's a struggle. For some, they grow up in families and households where there's abuse, where there's all kinds of trauma that have taken place. It's a suffering. It's a struggle that we have. Even when we don't have some of those things, we struggle with disappointments with one another in families pretty consistently at times. And we got to know what to do with that as followers of Jesus. In other ways, we have struggles just because we live in a fallen world. Right? Amen. We live in a fallen world. We do, and it brings all kinds of things. I've talked to someone here this morning who is here, even though you don't feel good at all, and just here trying to be here present with us. But sickness is just part of being in a fallen world, and it's a struggle that we have. Sometimes there's struggles in the world that aren't you, but you have the consequences of it. Like if we have, I was listening to a podcast this week describing the Great Depression. Everyone is impacted by that in bad ways, living in a fallen world. Things that happen in other places impact us in ways that are hard. Sometimes there's another whole category, realm of suffering that's self-inflicted. There can be like obvious self-harm ways, but in a lot of ways, it's just because we make dumb choices and bring suffering. The great theologian Cowboy John Wayne was known to have said, "Life's tough. It's tougher if you're stupid." And I think that's funny because the world just kind of naturally kicks us in the butt when we do dumb things. We suffer from our choices. Another whole category, I put some of those categories on there. Another one, if you've tucked another one in there, you could say God is sometimes the cause of suffering. Because sometimes God will bring suffering to us. You read about it a lot in the Bible. God took his people and oppressed them or took them out into captivity. And I mean, all kinds of things. Like God's getting our attention through struggle. It's true for us as well. And that last category, persecution, is one that can sometimes be a little harder for us to relate to. And that's that I'm suffering because I'm following Jesus. Maybe I'm making Jesus choices for my life that keep me out of a group or cause rejection. Or maybe because someone else doesn't like Jesus, now I'm oppressed. It's way easier to understand in other countries where that aren't trying to claim to be Christian countries. In other countries, like in a Muslim country or another, where it might be illegal, we just heard from a missionary last week. And in her place, if you're registered Muslim and you go to want say, well, I want to follow Jesus now, that doesn't work very well. That's complicated. There's suffering that comes with a choice like that. There's a lot of different kinds of suffering, but all of these have a few things in common as well. One of the things that all these sufferings have in common is that suffering is painful. So I might be able to go, oh, I'm suffering because I'm following Jesus, and someone yelled at me, and I had this persecution, and someone keyed my car, and I can feel like puffed up in my suffering, and you're suffering because you did something dumb, and you just got sick this week. You know, all suffering's painful. We can give each other grace and help each other, give each other kindness when we go through hardships in life. Do you agree with that? All suffering is painful. If you say, hey, I'm going through a hard time, that's valid. I want to listen to that so we can help one another. I'm going to say this too. This is a harder one to understand sometimes. But suffering has a place inside of the will of God. We sometimes get this idea that, well, it's God's will that I would be filled with joy and peace. And it is. In a lot of ways. And in heaven, he'll wipe the tears from our eyes and all that stuff. But for now, it's part of God's will that we go through really hard stuff. Because there's value in it. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But another thing that all suffering has in common is it's an opportunity for you and I to grow in our faith. It's an opportunity to grow. We can grow in our faith when we suffer. It's not just a negative thing that sets us back, even though it often feels that way. One of the main purposes of the whole book of 1 Peter is to help prepare us to suffer well. I could say this too with a pretty high degree of confidence. Each one of you here will experience suffering in the near future. And I'm sorry. You might be now. It might be something next week. It could be something maybe in 2 years. Probably will be unexpected. Almost certainly will be unwanted. But each one of us is going to go through something really hard. Let's admit that. So we can be there for each other, we can help one another, and we can look for ways to walk with God through it. As we look at the text specifically, I found that Peter is sharing with us 3 good ways to suffer. We're going to suffer. It's going to come. And there's 3 good ways we can do it. So let's look at those good ways together, and we can help prepare each other to do this well, to suffer well instead of suffering badly. You know what I mean when I say that. There are ways to suffer badly. When you go through something really hard, oh, man, we can kick and scream. We can curse and yell. We can resist. We can get mad at God. We can get mad at the people around us. We can blame. It's one of my favorite things to do. I've done all these things. We can do this really bad. We can isolate. We can pull back. I see this a lot as a pastor over the years. Someone starts to go through something, a hard time, and the best way I can describe it is they do this. They take a big step back. And then the rest of the church is like, where did that guy go? Where did she go? I haven't seen her for a while. They just took a step back because suffering feels shameful even. Something about it feels not right, like I'm not a good Christian. So they step back and then it's like, oh, now you're not actually getting the help you need going through a hard time. So let's look at some ways we can do this reasonably well. The first way that he calls us to do, the first thing he calls us to do is suffer with joy. Suffer with joy. He says it like this, verses 12 to 14. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." That sounds kind of crazy. Consider it joy. Don't be surprised. Suffering's going to come. And when it does, have joy. Is that your first emotion, the first place you go? "Oh, this is wonderful. I just lost my job. Praise the Lord. This is great. We can't actually pay our bills this month. This is so awesome. I'm as sick as a dog." I mean, so you might actually, because it could give you a break from your routine. Yay, someone in my family is deathly ill. We don't think of joy. But this is not a new teaching. This is not a new teaching. This is an old teaching that has been reinforced. Peter is writing to scattered believers throughout Asia Minor. James, the book of James, he's writing to his Jerusalem Jewish believers who were also scattered. They're both writing to scattered people, and James comes right out of the gate when he starts his letter. He says, "Hi, I'm James." And the first thing he says in verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." James said the same thing to his believers, like, you're going to suffer, and when you do, yeah, this is great, because growing in your faith is the most important thing, and this is going to help you grow. They both said that because they learned it from Jesus. They heard the same things from their Lord who taught them. Back in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 10, when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Have you ever had people falsely say things against you? They make things up. And they say it to hurt you or to demean you. You're blessed. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be glad." In case you missed the meaning of what rejoice means, well, joy is not happiness, it's some other category. No, rejoice and be glad. "Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Like, when we get in that spot, we're like, God is calling us to rejoice in this. He's calling you to do the same thing every other believer from all the way back to the prophets in the Old Testament were called to do. And God meets us in our suffering to help us suffer with joy. It's in a way, when we suffer, the lies about us become more clear so we can counter it with the truth. If someone looks at you and says you're worthless, it's an opportunity to go, "Wait, am I? Wait, God says I'm his precious son or daughter." It gives us this opportunity to re-anchor us in who we are in Christ. Suffer with joy. Have you ever been around someone who actually suffers with joy? I have. I'm thinking of several people who went through some really hard things and did it with joy, and it's like, wow, it's so cool. If you have, that's great. soak it in. If you haven't, be that person, because you'll make an impact in this world. God will use that. So the second thing that Peter says, the second way that we can suffer well is that we can suffer without shame. Suffering sometimes causes shame, like, you know, guilt is, I did something wrong. I feel guilty about it. Shame is this feeling that's a little bit cloudier that says something like, there's something wrong with me. Every person in this room struggles in some way at some time with feelings of shame. Suffering can heighten that, but he's telling us that we can suffer without shame. It says in verse 15, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or some other kind of criminal or even as a meddler, not because you did something. Don't suffer for doing things wrong. Stop doing things that are wrong. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. He's making that distinction. Doing dumb things causes suffering. Stop doing dumb things. But if you suffer as a Christian, we don't have to be ashamed of that. We're actually following in the footsteps of Jesus. Again, others have spoken of this in the Word in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and then verse 12. He said, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, is this prisoner. Paul's in prison. He's like, that's kind of shameful. And don't be ashamed of that. But join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. And yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him against that day. If you're suffering because you're a Christian, it just means that you and Jesus are in the same place. You're standing with Christ. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be embarrassed about that. There's no shame in suffering for the gospel or standing with Christ, because Jesus took our shame on the cross. We're standing with one who took all of our guilt and all of our shame, even our guilt for the dumb things, even our guilt for the deliberate sins we did against him because we wanted to. And he took it on the cross. You don't have to be perfect to stand with Christ and not be ashamed when you suffer. Just trust in him. He stands with you. And finally, he gives us this third category, this third way that we can suffer well, and that's suffer toward holiness. That when we suffer, it can help us grow in holiness. Sounds like what your parent probably would have said. Well, this is good for you. This is an opportunity to grow. Like, no, I don't want to hear any of that. But he says he says it pretty strongly here. In 1 Peter 4:17, it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Suffering is a chance for us to recommit ourselves to God. If I feel all filled up and strong, like a whole person, a strong man, and I'm just like, I'm going to do this thing, then I just do it, and it's me. But when I suffer, I feel like half a person. I feel like half a man. I feel like I'm stripped down, like I'm broken, like I'm torn into pieces, and it causes me to say, God, I need help. There's not that much of me here to do what I think I should do, to do what you've called me to do. I need your help. It's like it exposes our need for God. That need's already there, by the way. our need to totally depend on Him. We just forget about it when we feel good and healthy and strong and whole. But suffering reminds us how much we need the Lord. It's a refining act, like if you want to have pure silver, you can heat it up, melt it down, get it liquid, and then the impurities rise to the surface so that you can scrape them off. And then you have more pure silver. And that's our life when suffering comes. Suffering's the heat that bubbles up to the surface our imperfections. It really does. Because you can see it all around when people suffer. The bad stuff comes out. The addictions get exposed. The anger that may be in there comes out. This stuff comes out that's not pleasant. And God's using that suffering to bring that stuff out so it can be scraped away and you can be more holy. You can grow, become more like Jesus. Not really, you kind of wish that stuff could be magicked away some other way, but I think oftentimes suffering is the way God chooses to purify us. It's also this reminder that we get this impression in the world today that I can follow Jesus and it's just good and safe and positive and fun and happy. I'm not sure who we think we're following when that's our mindset. Did Jesus say, come and follow me because it's going to be good and safe and fun and happy? He actually said other things. Jesus walked the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, the path of suffering. That's just what Jesus did. And then he said, hey, and by the way, why don't you take up your cross and follow me? There's a sense in which our call to follow Jesus is inherently suffering. If Jesus walking towards suffering, which he was, Philippians 2 talks about it, all the Gospels, he's choosing to walk towards suffering for God's glory and purpose, and he says, come and follow me, where do you think that's going to lead? We know where he's going. He's leading us into suffering things because of eternal glory's sake. Just part of following Jesus. There's joy in it. There's growing in holiness in it, but it's going to be challenging. Not a popular message. I think if we just said, hey, come follow Jesus and you'll become healthier, wealthier, and wiser, which is truth in it, we'd probably get more people to join us. Come and take up your cross and follow Jesus toward suffering. It's authentic Christianity, whether it's popular or not. And it's true. But the goal in it is we're following Jesus. We're becoming more holy. We're sharing in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Remember Paul in Philippians chapter 3? He's like, man, I did all this work. I went to these schools. I've done all these things for God. It's all rubbish. Because the only thing that matters to me is knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he includes in that, the only thing that matters to me is knowing Christ and sharing in his sufferings. Because he knew that there was no other time he was closer to Jesus than he was sharing in the sufferings of Christ. When he's suffering himself and walking with Jesus in it. That's the good stuff. And Paul's like, if that brings me closest to Jesus, that's where I want to be. I want to just read this text, or text for today again, and just listen and hear the word of God. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice. Inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it shouldn't be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? And so then, those who are suffering according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. He has talked about ways in which when you suffer, it's good for you. When I suffer, it's good for me. I can have joy in it. I can participate with Jesus. I can be refined in holiness. I can walk without shame. But I want to just pause for a second and reflect on another idea before we go. And that's this idea that when we suffer, it's an awesome testimony for Christ when we suffer well. Everybody wants to find a church that's fun or find a person to be around who's fun and positive. But when they find someone who's stand strong in the face of suffering, who has joy in the face of suffering, who walks without shame in the face of suffering, who becomes better, not bitter, that means something. That's a person people want to join. That's somebody people want to be around. And that's you. Your strong testimony for Jesus will come more in the way that you suffer than in any other thing that you can do. I'm convinced of that. So I'm encouraging you to suffer well, not just because it's good for you. It's the testimony we need to share with the world. And when I suffer well, and then you go through suffering, it causes me to become more empathetic toward you, to say, oh my goodness, that must be really hard. I've been there. I care. How can I help you? It makes us better people at loving our neighbors when we walk through suffering well. And this is a really big deal. And I even think about it here. The history of the church for the last 2,000 years, if you look at it, a lot of times the church spread and grew when the believers were in suffering. We tend to think of it the opposite way, like, oh my goodness, this is a really hard time for the church. Everybody just get together over here and try to survive and wait it out. That's not what the church does. When things are hard, the church steps forward and engages in the world, and it's a powerful testimony. When there's a horrible sickness and disease going around, the church steps into that space and helps and serves and loves and cares. When there's economic hardship, the church reaches out and helps people. And it's an amazing testimony. Who else is doing that, right? Now we sit back and we wait and we let the government do it. We lose our opportunity to share our faith. Or when someone is going through a hard time and a believer just gives an attentive listening ear that actually cares about the person. This is what's needed. This heightens our testimony, and it's a stark contrast to the reality that right now we're kind of in this amped up season of political rhetoric. And we're all hearing it. We're all hearing bits and pieces of it, and we're called to love our neighbors, to have a different kind of mindset than the mindset that I'm hearing is occupying our culture right now. So I just want to address that a little bit. Some of the people, oftentimes, we're not in a space of tremendous suffering, but we're aware that somewhere somebody else is. Like right now, in other parts of the world, for believers to meet like this, they would be undergoing risk and maybe suffering. We're not. We're welcomed here. Yay. But we want to remember our brothers and sisters and pray for them and help them and encourage them. We also are aware that being part of majority culture here is a little bit easier. And there are some who are not in a majority culture that are struggling in America right now. And I just want to give a couple examples. There are a lot of examples I could give. I'm actually trying to curate in my mind right now which ones to say. but I want to speak, because these things we're learning about suffering, they have to do with the character of who we are and how we interact with the world. There's been comments made about immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, Haitian immigrants, that have been really demeaning and dehumanizing. You have any idea what I'm talking about? You've heard some of this. They've been demeaning and dehumanizing toward these Haitian immigrants living in Springfield, Ohio. We went to church in Springfield for 10 years. So I'm like, right away, oh, Springfield, like that's home in some ways. I know pastors in Springfield. They say very different things are happening. They say most of the Haitian immigrants there are believers, followers of Jesus, who left their country because it was under assault. And how will we talk about this? Or what do I just want to say, we resist dehumanizing talk about anybody. We resist that. We don't participate in that. Because every single human being, regardless of how old you are or how young you are, how tall you are, how short you are, what you look like or where you came from, was created in the image of God. And therefore has dignity and value as an image bearer of God. Every person also carries the sin of Adam and proves that, because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. So every human being, that's why we love our neighbors, because they need the gospel. Jesus gave his life for each one of us that we might be saved. Every single one is deserving of dignity and outreach and kindness and grace, and it's disturbing to me. Another group I thought of that has had a hard time in this country are Asian Americans, Chinese Americans in particular. Just several years ago, with all the rhetoric surrounding the pandemic, in our community and in our county where we live, a lot of the Chinese business owners disappeared. They fled. They were too afraid to open their businesses for their own safety. But having been in China, having met lots of Chinese Americans and Chinese people, and it's like I've met so many beautiful followers of Jesus, it just hurts my heart to see that. How will we interact and carry the love of Christ? Another group, anyone crossing the southern border, you know, has been demeaned a lot lately and been called not humans but animals. I mean, it literally is exactly the opposite of what we believe as followers of Jesus. We just stand against that. Instead, here in Minneapolis, where you could talk about the Muslims and the struggles they've had in the past several years since 9/11. You know, we're a church in Minneapolis with a lot of diversity around us. That's really cool. What an opportunity to experience the unity around that Jesus brings. We're all going to be in heaven together chooses to follow Jesus. We can express the love of God and the unity of Christ together now. But doing different, by being different than our culture, than this world, and looking for opportunities to help other people when they're suffering, because God's word has helped us learn how to suffer well. So we can say, let's come alongside whoever it is who's going through something hard. It's one of the richest and most fruitful opportunities for us to share the gospel that we'll ever have. And we should look for that and embrace those opportunities. Have you ever heard of Brother Andrew? He was, I believe, Romanian, and he smuggled Bibles into Romania, a lot of Bibles, and he spent a lot of time in prison for sharing the gospel, and that was back during the Soviet Union, when Romania was part of the Soviet Union. And he said, I have this quote from him that's interesting. He said, we must forever set aside the idea that they are our enemies. We did this for decades with the Russians, that they were terrible, evil communists who were looking to conquer the world. that very attitude on our part is why it took so long for their system to crumble. In our fear, we did not go to them with the love of God. Now, there's a lot of groups in this world and other governments. We may disagree with how they do government. Fine. That's great. I have a lot of strong opinions about that. But there's people all over the world who need the love of God. And I think that's what's important for us as followers of Jesus, is that we always see other people as people who need God's love and salvation, so that we can bring that to them and show the example of Christ in us in the way we walk through hardships as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4 about how to suffer well. Lord, these are hard times, but these are times that are filled with opportunities for us to shine the light of God, to shine our light in this world, for Antioch to be a city on a hill that shows your love for all people, your desire and your will that all people would be saved. Help us to be a part of what you want to accomplish in this world. Give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name.